Chuck did too. Third epistle of John, chapter 2, and says, well, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. In Psalms 84, Psalm 84, and we'll just pick up a verse or so, this psalm. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Come to the valley of Baca, make it well. There is also Philip the Fool. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. You might as well read the next four. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day and night course is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts blessed is the man trusted in thee. A number of questions asked this afternoon which gave cause for a series of ministry meetings. But there's just one that we'll address ourselves to now, that perhaps the Spirit of God will see fit to link with what he has gone before. One of the things that was raised, and yesterday, was the matter of growth amongst the believers. What we have before us just now is to put simply, we hope straightly, the fact that so far as any access is concerned, the scripture makes it quite clear, we have both access. It's not a question of one's ability, it's not a question of one's responsibility, it's a question of a divine operation. But there is a side that calls for our responsibility. I suppose, in going around the meetings, you must have found it so. You must have found that there are various grades, and I'm speaking particularly to those who may not have heard it put this way before. There are those who are fathers. There are those whom Scripture calls young men. And there are those whom Scripture calls little children of age. This is what we saw in John's epistle and chapter 2. What we find in Psalm 84, this hitty psalm speaks of quietness, which there are another two that bear the same title, 8 and 81. We find this was to the sons of Korah, a matter of mercy. And if we were looking at Mr. Hamilton Smith's notes on it, I cannot recall them very clearly, many years ago, but he divides this into three sections. And the first section has to do with the house. The middle three, of this five onwards, they have to do with the blessedness of the man in the pathway. And the last four to do with the blessedness of the man who trusts in that pathway. Therefore, mentioned this psalm in the last few days. Don't wish to go on what they, over what they have said. But I think you will see that in the first four verses, we have features which concern the Father. We have features in the second four verses which concern the young men. That's where we started to read. And in the last four verses, we have things which characterize the babies. Now, one of the questions was asked today was, what about people being in the meeting where there is weakness and breakdown and the rest of it? I'm not going to talk about breakdown. I'm not going to talk about weakness to the exclusion of the positives, right? But it becomes apparent when you go around the meeting that what we are in desperate need of are fathers. In our young days, we seem to have an abundance of fathers. We seem to have men who, and women, who seem to know and to have an attraction for younger people. They seem to see the difficulties. They went out of their way in a Bible reading, things come flooding back. After a Bible reading, they spend hours making a matter clear for us. When there was difficulty, you felt that there was someone you could go to, you could trust in, your confidence could be placed in that one. You felt what you told him or her was there in pilot, they would never disclose that, not at all. They had your confidence, as a father would have. What we seem to have today is a lack of such people. By the same token, we are not excluding the sisters, not one bit. Because we've plainly been told, we certainly believe, that the spiritual atmosphere that the sisters bring to a home, to a marriage, to a family, to a meeting, is incalculable. I fancy we are short of fathers because the young men have never yet learned to be young men. I face it here that the young men have overcome the world. Sad to say, seem to see that the things which characterize the world, which the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, sad to say, those things do seem to have been overcome. I say this in no strident tone, not at all. But those things come, hence it seems to me, we in this generation in which we live, whenever we need it, fathers, we need them now. We have a desperate shortage of them. Now, knows the problem. We now turn to the scriptures for the cure. Will you look with me just a minute then to a verse or two in this psalm? We've had various references made to it. We shall try not to go over unnecessarily what has been said. But here we find the thing that characterizes the Father is this. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How lovely places where in fact divine persons are at rest. These are the things that would characterize, it seems to me, the Father. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord, the place where divine persons, we've been hearing about the last night, we were hearing about the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit. We have been advised, rightly so, that we should give equal weight to our consideration of the work of divine persons, and rightly so. He goes on, as we heard the other day, about the sparrow speaking of his poverty and the swallow speaking of his restlessness. There's no place for that inside the court of the Lord. Thine altars, O Lord, we've been reminded about the altars, those two altars, the brazen altar altar, the incense altar, one speaking of acceptability before a righteous and a holy God, the other speaks of communion with Him, pleasing His heart. These are the things that characterize the fathers. These are the things that are given by the fathers to the younger ones. He goes on now and he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be continually, they shall be still praising thee. So then, enough for that. I want to spend a bit of time now on the qualifications. We've said that term mentioned a few times today on a scripture word. I think we all know what it means. The qualifications, practically, of what it means to be a young man. This is what we see scripture young men. It might well be, we say this for the benefit of others, we say this, that there might be people who are very early in years, who are babies. Maybe they've just been brought to know the Lord Jesus as the Savior. Or they may be babies because they haven't grown. It may well be that they are literal young men, who in fact are scriptural young men. So we want to end our souls today. Young and old alike. He says this, blessed, spiritually prosperous is the man whose power, whose strength is in him. Brethren, this is what I seem to say as we go about the meeting. We see a whole city. We don't see an example and a demonstration of power. We see the benefit of this. We see when difficulties come, the brethren fold their hands, they turn away, they don't know what to do. Or even ask the price of others who are unable to give it. But here we find blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous is the man who finds all his strength in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of him. His purpose, it is said, his purpose in his heart. Who passing through the valley of Baca. It's not just life. It's not normal to see a young man in a full vigor, vitality. It's not normal to see such a person weeping. You think it's unmanly. It is a passing, it's not a steering in, it's a passing through. And as you look about the scenes of God, there's much to make you weep. There never seemed a time when there was more sickness amongst the brethren than there is today. There never seemed a time when there was more widows than there seems to be. There never seemed a time when the young people were being subjected to such pressures as there are today. There's much to make you weep. Much to make you weep at home, at work, in the meetings. As you think of the meetings as a whole, there's much to make you weep. What is the cause of these things? What is the effect, the end product of this weeping? Passing through this valley of weeping, as you see this brother, once a strong meaning, going on faithfully with the Lord, that thrills your soul. Lord, having been away for a little while and coming amongst the saints again, you know, you cannot say a fault in them. You cannot see any wrong as the best cure, or if you're in trouble with brethren, if the Lord will just take you away and isolate you so you cannot be amongst them, you'll think that, as scripture says, they are the excellent. They are indeed. They are the excellent. As you look and you can see, and we all know each other, and you can see what he used to do in Shem, and you see the marks of the former life still on them. The life when we were servants in the Satan, I mean. And you can see those going on faithfully with the Lord. Either tears, as you see them alone. Others who would be there supporting them of God. You see much that will cause you to weep. But you know what it goes on to say? It says that those self-same things, the rain, it says, the latter rain, take a well. Young devils have gone along. And they've seen old brothers and old sisters. You come back to your meeting after years, and there you see them. You forgotten. You'd actually forgotten the word. There they are sitting in the same seat, so they're wearing the same clothes. There they are in all the loveliness. They make something that refreshes your soul, that springs up and you're saved by the grace of God. I hope that's what I shall be when I'm in Ephesus. G&D changes the words, I believe. He calls this the rain, the early rain, which of course doesn't mean early in our calendar, that means the late one. You want the rain that you get in the autumn. There are two times that he speaks of this, I believe, in Deuteronomy and James, but it doesn't much matter, the early and the latter rain. But the early rain comes at the end of the year, and the latter rain comes at the beginning of the year. The latter rain has to do with the seed that's put in, that gives life to the seed. We'll be hearing about that. I don't wish to go on to that. Don't spoil the word. But there is that which causes life, which causes quickening. Dear brother and sister, these tears as you're going through there, not only is it that which is refreshes the soul of the saints, as they say, you're going through that. There's strengthening in the Savior, in the Lord Himself, the one who died for you and now lives for you. One who now glorifies and calls the Spirit of God to come down, so it might live here for him, not only so, but well for others, to be refreshed in, to be intelligent. I digress for a minute. Have you ever noticed when folks smile? They're smart. Have you ever noticed when, seen when folk go around the coffee pot stage, that they start with drip, they do? Yes, we can be aware. Here there is this seed which planted. It's the autumn of the year. The time of dying, and there's much around us that would cause people to see that death and decay has come in. Change and decay in all around us, see. And as you come back and you see, that brother, he's got some grey hairs. And that dear sister, she's a bit more bent. Yeah, you can see all this. Change and decay in all around us, see. Oh yes, the autumn. We are in these last days, perilous times. But that sorrow, that we are going through, dear brother, it is going to have a divine end. And we find here that it causes pools, pools of refreshing. It's going to be, the rain also fills the pools. I believe GMD talking out in blessings. Yes, indeed. That is so hard for us to go through. Loneliness, people leaving us, things going wrong, worldliness abounding on every hand, superficiality, people not being honest about things. Oh, yes, there's much to make us, much tears. Brethren, go on! This is the thing that characterizes the young man. This is the thing that's going to cause the young man to grow into a father. He goes on to say, they go from strength to strength. Isn't it good? When you, this must cheer the father's heart, and I want to cheer your heart, father, spiritual father, I want to cheer your heart for bearing the burden and heat of the day. Thank you for your example. Isn't it cheer when going from strength to strength? Isn't it wonderful when you see them taking no part and then you hear them? Isn't it wonderful when the mouths are opened and giving praise and worship and then you're sitting, you can't speak because the tears are running down, but you can't say amen. They go from strength, blessed be God, dear Job. They are going to bear the burden and the heat of the day as you maybe are going to be called home. Maybe there comes a time when you no longer can be as forceful, as mobile, as eloquent, as able as once you were. Here are these coming on. They go from strength to strength, he says. Every one of them appeared for home. You know, in the second, this is the second of the Paschal Psalms, 42, there's a taunt. Where is thy God? You know, again I say to my younger brethren who are going through these tests of the flesh, the testing of the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. As you're going through these things, and there'll be times where you will weep as you've given in, as you've let Satan get the victory. 30 times when we'll not sleep, not because of sleeplessness, but because of sadness. When you see how you've let the better dog down, when he needs a dance, when you run so close to the fence that purposely it would seem you've slipped into temptation, when you knew full well, you shouldn't have been going that way. That's wonderful. That way to appear more for the world, will it? Where is thy God? Psalm 42. Oh, there he's delighting, and how the back of the water looks so proud of my soul, O God, after thee. He's looking for the moment, when shall I appear before God? And so he's going on in the full flesh of conversion, right before God. He's so thrilling as he's walking along with the Saviour. Then comes temptation. And so the world will be very quick to say, where is that God? They go from, they shall appear. And you know how they will appear before God? They will appear with all the perfection that is in his blessed Son. We've been reminded today, tonight, of our responsible walk as he is, so are we. The day is going to come when God is not going to be satisfied until one looks like his blessed Son. We shall appear before God. It says, behold, O God, not a God. O Lord God of hosts, read the verse here. Hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God of Jacob, you've been reminded a little bit about Jacob, so his twisting, his vacillations, his arrangements, his deceit, until in the finish he was prepared to give up everything. And he could see, I've got everything. I've got. When he was going to offer something by his own, he speaks of the God. But is there going to be a day when we should never need mercy? This is what Jeremiah says. On to Canaan's rest still wending, e'en thy wants and woe shall bring suited grace from high descending. Suited grace. Suited grace. Different grace from you, for me. Different yesterday from today. Different if the Lord wills tomorrow today. Suited grace from high descending, thou shalt taste of mercy's spring. But now he talks with the God of Jacob. Not only a matter of prayer, now he's offering prayer. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. The God of majesty, we've been reminded of the God of mercy, who comes to us in all our desperate need, who came where he was, and he went to him, and he took care of him, and he took him to the inn where there was somebody else to take care of him. The God of mercy, which of these showed him mercy? I suppose he. But he showed him mercy that fell on the beach. Yes, indeed. Ah, but there's more than the God of mercy. You see it reverently. There's the God of all majesty. And here is the God of all majesty who delights not to have you and me with himself. We shall now digress, as it were, to fill in that in John 14. Amen. It was a wonderful thing to be told that the Lord Jesus was going away to prepare a place for them, that where I am, there you also may be, in my Father's house are many mansions. You needn't wait until that wonderful day when I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. You needn't wait for that day, for he that loveth me will keep my saying, and my Father will love him. And we will come, the Father and the Son will come, and will make our mansion with him. Not only have we got the Spirit of God indwelling us, and the Lord himself would say that he would pray the Father, that he would send you another Comforter, and when he is come, he will abide with you forever. I say this to our younger folk. Never mind about what these people say, saying you can lose your salvation. The Spirit of God leave you. He never will. He never could. He is another Comforter who will abide with you forever. Who then we can say to the young man, here we've got the Lord God of hosts, the one who is majestic, the one who is the God of Jacob in all our needs and all our failures. Here we've got this one who says, and the solution is so clear, is nothing.
Of course we are. Of course we do.
We've let him down. Tell us. We have already been reminded the love that he has gives, and it keeps on giving, even though we are so hopeless an example, so useless material as we would look at it. He says this. This, behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. And brother, who I met is just a babe, you haven't been long on the Christian pathway, you haven't reached, perhaps, to the case where you can be called a young man, where you know something about overcoming. You overcome the wicked one, maybe not. I want to tell you this verse. Hang on to this one. I did when a sister pointed it out to me a long time ago. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 10 says something like, the Spirit causes to be written, something like this. O my God, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret of the stairs, we heard something about that, the access, sandalwood, album. When she saw that access into the house of God, the Queen of Sheba, there was no more spirit left in her. That's when she brought the golden wolf up. That's when she brought that friend. When we see that access into this theatre wherein we stand, it humbles us. Oh my God, that art in the clefts of the rock, he says, shielded from every storm. The storms of judgment fell upon that letter man at Tamarack. Now there is no loan for me. God has raised him, he raised by the glory of the Father. Everything has been satisfied and fully satisfied. Clefts of the rock. No judgment. Either in this world or next. Or get the word of my patience, we've already had, but as I refer to, I also will keep thee from the hour of testing. It is good temptation that's going to come upon you to try then and dwell on the earth. We don't dwell on the earth. Heaven's our home. He goes on to say, my God, to the rock, in the secret places of the stair, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear the sweetest thy voice. Thy countenance is coming. Babe, in the Lord Jesus, this is something we can do. God, my well is not as good as his. It might well be that it's very poor. Let me hear thy voice. Yeah, he says. Behold, O God, our shield. Here's the one who's going to from all the storms. He says, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Do you know in the Old Testament there were all classes of people anointed? Well, I know we've heard it's three. I think you might find it. You'll find that there were priests anointed. Exodus 29. Sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, anointed. You've been anointed a priest. Actually, if we had continued in John 2, now appears to be 1 John 2, you find the unction and expansion there, not with the fathers, not with the young men. The unction is mentioned for the babies. You know when it talks about unction, ointment, anointing. You know what it has in mind? It has service in mind. He wants you in service for himself. To dwell in the house of the Lord? Yes, indeed. He wants service from you, anointed. Priests are anointed. Next we come to an order of sequence of kings. Kings are anointed. Not only are you a priest. He says here, a king, a kingdom of priests. More than that. Remember how Elijah had to go and how he had to anoint Elijah, prophets. But before any of that, we come to, I'm not in the priestly class. I'm not in the royal class. handbook of the Order of Simeon. Don't put on the leper. I'm a leper. Blessed be God, I pray, that in the dealing and the cleansing of the leper, he was anointed. He had the oil poured upon him. The rest that was in the priest's hand was poured upon his head. You may say, I'm no good as a priest. I'm no good as a king. I'm no good as a prophet. And it's right that we should think of ourselves in a lowly way like that. But you know, whilst we have in Romans the word, not to think more highly of oneself than one ought to think, whilst we're also reminded, even in the Ephesian epistle, the same chapter that tells us about the mighty gifts that have risen and glorified Christ has sent on. In that same chapter, we are told about the joints and bones that help to cause growth in the body, of the self building up of itself in love. Yes, there is something free. He goes on to say, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'll tell you something, young believer. To be in the company of the saints of God is without compare. You cannot compare it. I've been in the company of the Queen's husband, and more than once. We have not to speak ill of dignitaries, and we shall not. For I'm glad to be here. To be in the company of the Lord who can be freely moving in the courts of the Lord, to be indwelt by a divine person. You might see many of the faults, and I'll tell you a few more than you see. And you find a company wherein God is pleased to dwell, a company where, so exalted, that the blessed Savior says, if you love me, yes, Lord, with us. Thou knowest that I love you. Well, he says, you keep my sins. And if you do, my Father, and we will come in the poor will. A day in the courts where in a conference like this, where in fact there's free movement, where the Father is being adored in worship, where the Son is being exalted, where the Spirit of God is having freedom to create his presidency amongst the saints of God. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A thousand what? A thousand men. A thousand men. He goes on to say, I'd rather be the doorkeeper on the threshold. I would rather just be inside the door. That makes it easier for you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. We've been hearing about the house of my God. I noticed in going through one or two things that have been said, the good that you get in a meeting is not when you hear. The good is afterwards. The good is when you make it good yourself in the quietness of your own room or whatever it is, when you go home. Now notice this. When it comes to the nations, they are not even up in the bucket. I know that's what sometimes says. They are a drop of outside the bucket. But here, he says to you and to me, he says we can be in the very house of God, that place where he is pleased to put his name, that place where, so far as we are concerned, and we're not trying to anticipate something, where in fact he has been made known as the prophet, where we can address him as such, the house of God. I would rather be, would you? Wait. Remember the saying, the house tents of the wicked? It's much in there. This is the first qualifying mark to getting into the group of you. Here it's starting, you see. There is something that you can elect. You can elect even to be just for this, within the saints of God, to be in the company of the saints of God. There's no better company. Or you can be in the tents of the wicked. Dwell there. He goes on, for the Lord God is a sun and a sheep. This was not spoken of the other night, so I can perhaps just say, not only, we had it last night. In a way, his arm and his hand Have you thought about the hands of the hand of the Lord? Have you thought about his eyes? He will guide me. We have to be Psalm 32. He will guide me. Thought about his hand. He says this to Sam, I have graven you in the palms of my hand, his hands, and his servant. It says the Psalmist 143, when I muse upon the word of God, the hands that brought the words into being, that sustained them. And then in Psalm 78, we had that one, didn't we? In the end of it, he says he fed them with eternity of his heart, and he guided them with the skillfulness of his hands. To him right now, Mr. Rutherford, he could say, I bless the hand that guided, I bless the heart that planned. It's not one hand, it's two hands that guided. The Lord will give grace now. He'll give grace, shooting grace. He will give grace now, whatever your difficulties in school, when you testify for the Lord, or at college, or at work, or at home. Perhaps you're living in a home where God's name is not honored. Give me grace. Perhaps you're living in a house where God's name is honored. Perhaps give more grace. He gives grace and glory. The one who now is able, fully able to give grace, he's going to land us in the very glory. We've had that already today. No good thing. But he will hope them that walk uprightly. I think about this word uprightly. If you go back, you'll find that when God created man, he created him in his own image, in his own likeness. Image has to do with representation. Presentation. Likeness has to do with resemblance. Upright. You remember the woman in the 13th chapter who she was bowed down within herself, couldn't know why she straightened up herself. And the Lord straightened her. Those who walk uprightly. You see, you have the capacity to walk uprightly before he asks you to do it. To walk uprightly. Here the Lord, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man. They trusted in him. Are you going to trust in him? Or you trusted in him when it came to the matter of your soul's salvation? When you're in a difficulty, when you're in a problem, you go to the brethren, you tell the brethren and hold your troubles before the brethren. Or you go to the Lord. I tell you something. You can go to the brethren. There's nobody like them. There's nobody like them. Nowhere. The kings of the earth are not to be compared. In the company of the saints of God, gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus, however weak, however poor they might be in their testimony and otherwise, may I tell you something? If you go to the Lord first, yes, he's shown you that it will be spoiled if you go and tell him. I mean that. When he died for you and he said, oh, power is given unto me in heaven. He means exactly what he said. He doesn't mean something else. Whose strength is given. So I kind of lean down to the word of intelligibility. And perhaps there's great up. We kind of lean on it. Now how are we going to overcome the problem? Draw me. We will run after it. Start this yourself. If there was something in your meeting, you take. If somebody's always coming in late, you get there first. If somebody's not speaking very nicely, you speak particularly nicely. Whatever is lacking, you take. Draw me. We will run out of it. So I could leave that little word with you. May God bless you.